I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Holly Springs, which rested upon a plateau that was 1,000 feet above sea level, had historically taken pride in its healthy climate and springs, the latter of which were reputed to have healing properties. Its reputation made the town a favorite destination of resort seekers before the epidemic of 1878 and during the outbreak, a place where those from stricken cities sought refuge. In fact, Holly Springs officials opened the town to such refugees from other parts of the Mississippi Valley. But then, on August 19th, one of the out-of-town evacuees fell ill, and by the 24th, he was dead. Soon another exile showed symptoms of the fever, and before the month ended, Holly Springs' mayor became the first local casualty. Others soon followed, including Harvey Walter and three of his sons. A terrifying element of the epidemic was that it often affected an entire household because mosquitoes could easily alight on one family member and then the next in quick succession. Then, when more Holly Springs residents began exhibiting signs of the disease, civic confidence became unhinged and then slid into a terror. The disease's awful progression made a yellow fever epidemic more dreaded than nearly every other kind of outbreak, including cholera, dengue fever, and smallpox, also known to the region. The symptoms began with flu-like symptoms, high fever, chills, and severe headache, and rheumatic pains in the lower back. As it developed, the victim experienced reddening of the tip and edges of the tongue and foul breath. This was followed by vomiting and the hemorrhaging of gums and blood vessels beneath the skin, making it appear to be deeply bruised. After approximately 3 days, there was often a remission period of up to 24 hours, but the false promise was betrayed by the onset of even more severe symptoms. Jaundice, which gave the disease its name, nausea, and increased vomiting. The vomit made black by the digested blood was a sign that the disease was reaching its terminal stage. In the following excruciating period, there was more serious hemorrhaging and diffuse oozing from mucous membranes. The virus caused renal damage, and in late terminal stages, there was a severe agitated delirium, intractable hiccups, stupor, and then coma.
God damn.
Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Rod and
Karen.
And we're live on a Tuesday, ready to do some podcasting. Mm-hmm. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, search the Black Guy Who Tips. That excerpt is from Ida, A Sword Among Lions. That's actually how her parents passed, was through that. It's by Paula J. Giddings. You can get it on Amazon. But yeah, I thought I would pass on some this isn't the first time a virus has decimated people, and it's been worse.
Right. What was this? The yellow fever, right?
Yeah, yellow fever.
And the thing about it is because most of us have never been we weren't born. Modern medicine was here before most of us were born, or at least some forms of modern medicine.
Well, the kind we have now, at that time they thought that shit was modern.
Right, the kind we have now, right? A lot of vaccinations and all that shit. Vaccinations didn't just pop up. They popped up because they was like, motherfuckers was dying. So we got to do something to stop this. And so, you know, with all the things going around, it's funny how people be like, well, I don't got it and I don't see the symptoms. Bitch, you don't have it because people are getting vaccinated. If this shit was happening right now, people would demand that something is done. But because people aren't, quote unquote, dropping dead and people aren't running away and shit like that, and it's not a zombie apocalypse outside, people just feel like, well, oh, everything is okay. It can turn into this if we don't do what we need to do now.
Well, you know what's interesting is that one of the main reasons yellow fever was so, like, not just devastating, but it was like a, you know, something that people were like, we need to fix this, because it killed white people. Like, black people survived at like a high percentage. That's why I was so, you know, it was so unheard of that Ida lost like 3 family members to this, because in black households, you know, it was killing it. I want to say like maybe 80 something percent of people were surviving. But still, like, even if you say 80%, if there's 10 people, I mean, that's, you know, 22 of the 10 people might die.
Right.
And, you know, tell that to the people related to that 20%, that is no big deal. But what I thought was interesting, and I forgot to read this part of the excerpt, but the mayor of their town told people to come to their town and said that, you know, essentially, like, yeah, we're going to be good here. Don't worry about what people are saying. just come to our part of the town. You know, he's thinking about tourism and money and all this stuff. And I mean, that essentially doomed a lot of people to their deaths. And then he died, you know, so that was like, that was even crazy. Like, yeah, by July, yellow fever had seized New Orleans, then traveled to Grenada, Mississippi, and in August to Memphis. Such epidemics were not uncommon, especially in the port cities of New Orleans and Memphis, where the disease had struck in 1867 and 1873. The news of its reappearance did not cause undue alarm to the residents of around Holly Springs. Vicksburg terrified, Holly Springs not afraid, ran a headline on the front page article of the New Orleans Daily Picayune in mid-August. Holly Springs mayor and board of aldermen were quoted as saying that the place is clean and healthy, and that there was no sign of the disease and none was apprehended. And yep, and the mayor was the first person to die that would live there,
right? And you know, and it's, you know, it's one of those things where the government had to tell people to shut shit down because they're like, oh, we're good here. Can you promise that? Can yeah. you really promise well, that we good here?
And at that time, the only thing you could say is evacuate town.
Right.
Like, they couldn't even just be like, curfew, closed business. It was like, go home. Like, get the fuck out of here, wherever you're from.
You got to pack your shit up and you got to go away from wherever here is, you got to go away from.
Yeah, and it's wild that there, that once again, government leadership, there was a mayor that essentially was like, yeah, our town is impervious to this. And then it decimated the town. You know? So, like, it's just, oh man, so it's like the more shit changes, the more shit is just exactly the fuck where it's always been.
Oh right, and that's why people need to know their history and shit like that about how this shit and diseases and why you should take it seriously, even if you're asymptomatic, because you might be fine, but you are carrying it around and spreading it. Because me and Roger, like I said before, was talking about my mama. I was like, I would not dare go see her. Like, I wouldn't go see her. I'm not going around her. You know, I'm just literally just keeping myself in the house.
Right, and I mean, it's the responsible thing to do. I think a lot of people either have bad information or they just don't care, you know.
Right.
And I'm trying to do, you know, it's funny because I don't consider what we do to necessarily be so that important. Not, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but it's the way that I have to balance it so that we can get on here and have fun and stuff, and I don't feel like I have so much responsibility to everybody that I can't even have fun, you know.
Correct.
But there, you know, today I did an interview with Coqui Negra about because you know, she's a microbiologist and
just a field.
Yeah, and a health policy specialist, and we talked about the coronavirus. And you know, like, At first, she had asked about, like, just coming on the regular show and talking about it. And I thought about it. I was like, nah, it's kind of serious.
Right.
And so, you know, like, while we make light of it or we, you know, cover something, you know, quickly, it's like, if you want to get in depth and you want to, like, dispel some of the myths and rumors around it, let's do it. And I put it out on the main feed for people to hear. Just yesterday, I put out another Medium talk that was about, where I talked to Toy about, her work dealing with domestic violence survivors and things like that. So, like, you know, some days, you know, we do some important stuff here, you know, or at least try to use this platform to tackle some things that are pretty important. So, you know, that felt pretty good, but also just, I hope people listen to it, and give it to people that are saying, like, you guys, I've seen people's Facebook post about them having friends that are like DMing them and mm-hmm. rumors and things that are unfounded and right. stuff. And there's so much information, misinformation out there. On the podcast with Coqui Negra, I brought up some misinformation, which she corrected, because I didn't know. You know, I heard if you could hold your breath for 10 seconds, you were good. And that's not true. You know, so, you know, so there's a lot of stuff like that, that, mm-hmm. Is out there. And I think having the correct, proper scientific information helps from somebody in that field that knows better, you know, than right. I do, and just from reading articles and stuff. So I hope you guys are sharing that if you get a chance, because I think one of the things that can help is knowledge,
right? You know? Right. And wisdom and knowledge. And the thing is, I have adjusted my behavior, because now I work from home. So when I got home, literally everything that I have worn to work, I washed it. I washed my coat, I washed my gloves, I washed everything. I still have some clothes in there. I'm gonna wash those too. And as soon as I finish picking them up and put them in there, I'm constantly washing my hands. I'm constantly aware of what's around me and what I'm touching and things like that, because the thing is, a lot of times the virus gets on your hands and the things that you touch, and that's why they say use soap and water to wash the shit away before you do anything else. And you know, a lot of people it's frustrating when you're in the middle of something a while, you know, because a lot of times, particularly at restaurants, is where people need to wash their hands the most, and sometimes the way they wash their hands the least. And it's one of those things where people need to understand, when you go touching this and touching this and touching that, you need to wash your hands. You never know what bacteria that you pick up. That's why a lot of times children get everybody in the household sick, because most of y'all got kids, know you have to tell your children, wash your hands.
Yeah. And then we got into that, like, why washing your hands is such a big deal, why soap is such a big deal, what people mean when they really say don't touch your face. It's not actually like literally your face as much as it's like your mucous membranes and like your eyes, your nose, your mouth, things of that nature. So it was just cool to get some of that information out there, because I don't know if I was to the point where I was like, my eyebrow itch, but I guess I just gotta let it go, guys. I guess I got until I get home and wash my hands. And you know, so it was cool to like hear some of that stuff, man. I hope people you know, check it out,
right? Because at the end of the day, everybody listening to the show, we care about you. Like, we care about our audience,
some of them.
A good majority of them, it's some people I go, I don't know about you.
How was your day? This is their first day working in your new office from home.
It's been interesting. This is different. This is the first time I've had a job working from home, so it's different. One thing I do like about it is that I don't have to get up as early, because I don't have to drive nowhere.
How was traffic?
traffic was light as a feather, my nigga.
Nah, no problem getting through the living room.
No obstacles in my way.
Okay.
I mean, like I said, it's very different. It's a lot of communicating online, and we have like my group is small, so we have like an email chain, not email, but like a text chain, where we kind of text each other back and forth and keep each other informed for some stuff that you almost, you know, some things you quote unquote got to do in person, so people would just call, hey, da 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 da, you know, if it's something needed a bit more explanation. But other than that, it's literally the same thing I did at my job, because it's one of the things with remotely where you actually are connected to your computer at the job. So, you know, if somebody was to log in your computer job, they would see you actually moving around and shit like that, what you're doing at home.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you had a good day at work.
I did. And not too funny, one thing I think I do like about it is that it's very peaceful. I mean, because like I said, we're peaceful. It's very peaceful, and it's not a whole lot going on, a lot of distractions. So that's another thing that I like about it.
Yeah, I did appreciate being able to sleep in a little bit today, because normally, you know, I get up and walk you to your car in the mornings, and then once I'm up, I'm just up. So it was cool to be not have to kind of quote unquote worry about it or whatever, to be like, all right, cool, I'm just gonna sleep, and then I wake up when I feel like waking up.
Yeah, and you don't have to worry about, you know, me going to work, because I mean,
yeah, traffic and right wrecks and all
anything
kinds of shit
can happen in that in the distance from home to work, no matter how far it is. And another thing that I do like about it, because you know, you've kind of had cooked meals, so now I got a lunch, you know, and it feels good to actually just go in there and grab a snack and come back to my desk, and you know, not having to pay the vending machine and shit like that. It's like, okay, food is here.
Yeah, and I went to the store today, so you know, stocked up some things. It wasn't even too crowded in there or nothing. Like, it was like a normal day, except for all the toilet paper and tissue was gone. Paper towels was gone too.
Paper towels. So paper towels.
I hope they're not flushing paper towels down the toilet, because if so, it's gonna
call
be
the plumber, man, because you're gonna clog them toilets up, and them people flushing them non-flushable wipes.
It's gonna be bad, you know. I saw a lot of meat was in there, but not every selection. Like, for some reason in this one, all the pork was gone, which is weird, because in Trader Joe's all the pork was dead, everything else was gone. But I was looking for some grounds for some sausage, and it wasn't in there.
Pork is cheaper.
Don't get me lying, but it was gone. So I don't know. It was a lot of stuff in stock, though. You know,
that's a good thing. With the toilet tissue and paper towels, probably as soon as they fill it up, that shit probably get sold out immediately. So they probably had some earlier today.
Yeah. Oh wait, I forgot. Hold up. I'll talk about my work after this.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow, a reading rainbow.
Yep. So my day at work was interesting, because I got a new coworker, and
who your coworker?
Well, you know how they say everybody has that person at work, that bitch at work they don't like,
right?
And I've been lucky, you know, so far to never have to worry about that. But today, oh God, here we go. I finally got one. It's the worst, but I'm glad I can talk to you about it as my wife.
But that's what I'm here for.
She was the worst. Oh my God, she was clicking and tacking over on her keyboard all loud and stuff when I was trying to work.
Was she breathing hard too?
And then when I was trying to do my interview with Coqui Negra, all of a sudden her phone ringing.
Being like, rude and
you
shit.
Don't know to put your phone on silent. Like, you see me working over here, I do audio for a living.
Being rude. What is wrong with that bitch?
The mic down on her desk, and here she go taking phone calls in the middle of my damn interview, disturbing my important work.
See,
I know. I was,
don't care, don't give a damn about your time, does
and
she?
Then had the damn nerve to microwave fish in the microwave for lunch.
Had the motherfucking
had the whole office smelling like fish.
The whole office.
Oh my God. I was disgusted. It was honestly,
I am disgusted.
One of the worst coworkers I've ever had, you know, working in my office with me.
That's what I'm here for. I am here to be.
Well, as my wife, I know I can tell you about, you know.
I'm glad we could talk about this.
I can tell you about the bitch at work, okay? She's terrible. She was terrible, okay? She was hogging the TV in the break room. I was in the break room trying to watch
hogging
some TV.
The TV.
I come in, she playing video games in the break room.
Hogging the TV. Talking about all the hog mugs, all the pig feet.
Talking about it's my lunch break. I'm like, what? It's my lunch break too, okay? Like,
was it too much for you?
I don't know if I'm gonna make it. Yeah. I'm just gonna let you
gonna
know
make
right
it through
now.
The week?
I don't know if I'm gonna make it. She sent me to the store for a bunch of stuff. I said, do I like an errand boy? Oh, I need some yogurt. I need some snacks. I don't know how I'm gonna make it through the week.
Did she offer you gas money?
Didn't offer not a cent. Didn't offer nothing.
How dare her?
Didn't put in on it or nothing. Just sent me to.
She ain't put in on it.
I don't know. I guess she gonna get me later in the week or something, but them snacks ain't refilled they self. You know, I would have been perfectly fine at home cooking myself something to eat, but no, here we go.
Inconsiderate people.
Just stressful. How it is. Well, anyway, let's get into some other stuff. I mean, let's see. How about this? It's been a while.
You, there's something that I wanna know. And to this question, you have the answer. So tell me what I wanna know. Do you wanna funk? Do you wanna funk? Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you wanna funk, let me show you how. Do you wanna funk with me? Do you wanna funk with me?
I think I'm gonna have to report it to HR. She was violating the dress code.
What, violating the dress? How dare her?
I'm not even gonna get into the sexual harassment. I'm not even gonna get into it. Anyway,
we might need to talk about this.
Let's talk about this LGBTQ news, y'all. Let's see. Professor loses a landmark legal battle after claiming that it was his free speech to deliberately misgender trans students.
No, it's not.
Professor who claimed free speech means he has the right to deliberately misgender transgender students without repercussions has lost his legal battle. Nicholas Merriweather, a religious philosophy professor at Ohio's Shawnee State University, had sued his employer with help from anti-LGBTQ lobbying group Alliance Defending Freedom.
The names is the opposite of what they are.
Yeah.
We love the kids, .org. What?
Come together for everyone's freedom.
The family loves, that loves all.
Right. It's like, well, what do y'all stand for? Well, we hate gays. Tell you that off top, okay? Niggers, not too high on our list either. Claiming that it had infringed upon his freedom of speech and religion by asking him to stop referring to female transgender students as men. Alliance Defending Freedom, which represents a plethora of clients seeking the freedom to discriminate against LGBTQ plus people, had attempted to build on his previous Supreme Court victory representing the no gays baker Jack Phillips. However, a federal court last week dismissed his action, finding that the university did not infringe on Merriweather's rights by asking him to stop using sir and mister to address the student.
You actually didn't have to use that at all.
Right. Could have just said their name.
Oh, them?
Yeah. Okay. Well, not even them. I mean, if somebody wants to be referred to as she or her, I mean, and you refuse to do that, you could also just call that person their name, because they might not be a person that refers they or them. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
yes.
In that case, he could have just said, like, Alexandra, as opposed to being like, nah, fuck that, Mr. Sir.
Right.
Like, that's
right.
On purpose.
Correct, correct. And when I said that, I meant to be like, just include all, use terms that are all inclusive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah. And clearly he chose not to do that.
Correct.
You know, but I just wanted to say, like, they right. is also a
yes.
specific identity. So
yes, it is.
Referring to a singular person as they that might not be how they want to be referred to, you know.
Right.
But because he refused, he was like, let's go to court. And he lost. Which is good.
Yes.
The other thing is, like, how far can this go? Because I always look at it, you know, I know a lot of, well, a lot of homophobic, transphobic people hate when you make this comparison, but I refuse to stop making it because I feel like it's connected. How far can you go with this? Can I call somebody like a racial slur and be like, that's violating my freedom of speech that y'all won't let me refer to them that way? You know, like, how far can you go with it? Like, if someone changes their government name, like, they don't change gender or anything, but, you know, hey, my name used to be Andrew, now I'm gonna go by Sam. Can he be like, nah, you gonna always be Andrew to me? Like, what? How far does that shit go? I just wonder, in their mind, because I think people hear trans and trans identity and they just be like, they just like, yeah, well, I'm not trans, so who gives a fuck? I'm like, I still wonder, like, on the principle of it, like, how much can you argue freedom of speech, and especially as a professor? You know, I think the one thing with the university that's really gotten twisted, and and maybe it's always been this way, but professors do work for the school, which gets the money from the students.
Correct.
And sometimes it's like, you know, while I respect professors, I understand tenure and all that stuff, I'm not trying to demean their positions, but some of these professors are so fucking hostile towards the people that essentially without them, you don't have a job.
Agreed.
You know, it's so weird to be that fucking mad at these motherfuckers. Like, nah, fuck this new shit. Y'all students coming in with this new knowledge and new way of being and new talking points. It's like, yeah, that's the fucking job. Like, you're gonna always be introduced to some new information and some new things, and society's gonna change around you. Do you think it's just gonna be the way it was in the 1950s when you got the fucking job? Like, this is crazy to me. Anyway, glad he lost.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but you'll never know. They might try to take that shit to Supreme Court or something.
Of course. That's the whole goal.
And the reason this shit is important is for, like, this next article. Transgender woman shot dead after using a women's bathroom in McDonald's. So this type of hate from an authority figure that's a professor. Now, I know, you know, I'm not saying this man, like, oh, you directly killed this person or you incited violence on this person. But I think just the fact that you disrespect somebody's orientation in this way leads to the type of societal attitude. I think it is connected, whether you're not, it may not be directly connected. You may not be personally responsible for this, but I do feel like this same type of, like, it's my freedom to misgender you. It's my freedom to insult you. I'm the one who's being oppressed because I can no longer refer to you how I feel like referring to you. I think it does lead to this level of entitlement. And then of course it becomes real physical violence in some of these examples.
Yeah. And also, truth be told, it's level of ownership too. Like, I feel like I own the right over you to be able to say what I want to, and then right, you shouldn't have no retaliation from on your part.
Cause this is, I mean, let's be frank. Let's say that you really thought whatever this person thought that shot this person. You killed them for this? You shot them for this? Like, that's a level of hate. Like, when people hear transphobia, a lot of times they hear phobia and they go, I'm not scared. That's not necessarily what fear doesn't always manifest in like a Freddy Krueger movie where you turn around and run. Mm. Fear can sometimes mean fight or flight. Right? We often talk about that notion. Fight or flight is associated with adrenaline and fear. Fear response. So your fight is also a response to fear.
Yes, it is.
To what you feel is unknown or what you don't understand, and now you want to kill it. You know what I mean? That's essentially how I don't understand this concept. I need this concept to go away in some shape or form. That may take place in you running away from a concept, but it sometimes, and in many cases, it takes place in violence. You know, this is not even if you felt that this was, like, say a, just like, take the trans part out. Let's just say a man went into the women's bathroom at a McDonald's. This man who shot this transgender woman would not have shot and killed that man.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean? So there's something specific about this person being trans that leads to this violence. That's why people say transphobia, and it's not just about being scared. Anyway, a transgender woman has been fatally shot in Puerto Rico hours after someone called the police to inform them she had been using a women's toilet at McDonald's. Nealisa Luciano Ruiz was killed earlier on Monday morning in Toa Baja on the northern coast of Puerto Rico. Police are investigating the footage uploaded on social media where at least two men can be heard ridiculing and threatening the person thought to be the victim ahead of gunfire is the actual killing. So you broadcast this shit to the world. What message are you trying to send? You know? Cause that's trying to send a message. I can't think of, like, this is the kind of shit where, like, police or, like, their defense lawyer will be like, I don't see why it's a hate crime. Like, it's a hate crime because of that. You know? To me, it's no different than dragging somebody behind a pickup truck because they're gay or because they're black. Like, you know, and you wanted the world to know about it. One individual can be heard appearing to misgender her, saying, you bet I'm going to go and shoot him. People lamenting the death of Miss Ruiz, who was known by the name of Alexa, and the hashtags C Lamba Alexa. Oh, her name was Alexa. Oh, Sayama Alexa. Okay. Her name was Alexa. Have gained traction on Twitter. Pedro Julio Serrano, an LGBTQ+ activist based in the Puerto Rican capital of San Juan, called for authorities to investigate the killing as a hate crime and hit out the press for misgendering Ms. Ruiz. Mr. Serrano, in a statement on his website, said Alexa was stalked and hunted ahead of her killing, adding that the video demonstrates the crime was a hate crime motivated by intolerance. He criticized conservative groups and argued they have fostered hysteria centered around transgender people using bathrooms. Right. we had one of these bills here in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Like, and like, as hard as we fought to get it struck down, it still ended up being a compromise at the end where they took it down. But then it was like, you can't reintroduce this bill, because what happens is in Charlotte, our local city, they passed a bill. You can use the bathroom, whatever gender you feel comfortable.
Yep.
And after that, the state, like all the other parts of the state, came out and passed a bill like, no, the fuck you can't. And also, we're limiting what minimum wage can be. Like, you can't raise minimum wage in a certain city, because Charlotte wanted to raise it to like, is either 12 or 15? 15,
yeah, I think 15.
Yeah. And so, you know, they wanted to push back against this quote unquote liberal, progressive ideas. And then, you know, you end up basically inciting a bunch of people who I don't think would have been as activated if it wasn't for government authorities telling them, like, this is real bad. You should be able to do something and take a stand. These people are threatening you. You need to do something. And when you put that in people, like, that's why you get this violence. We must denounce the hate speech of the fundamentalist groups who promoted a climate where they could persecute and prosecute a trans person for the mere fact of using a bathroom. Carmen Yulin Cruz, San Juan's mayor, who had a public spat with Donald Trump after the deadly Hurricane Maria in 2017, drew attention to the death of Ms. Ruiz. Ms. Yulin Cruz, a candidate for governor of Puerto Rico, tweeted, "You can feel the pain of Pedro, Julio, and all those who understand that the lives of our trans people are worth the same as any other compatriot." Tori Cooper, director of community engagement for the Transgender Justice Initiative for the Human Rights Campaign, the largest LGBTQ plus advocacy group in the U.S., condemned her death. She said, "This is a horrifying crime that must be investigated with the utmost thoroughness and care. This victim, who has now been identified as Nuleso Luciano Ruiz, was a human being, a member of a community, a friend, and a family member." This kind of shit is going to continue to happen as long as we have this type of bigotry out there into the world, especially now in this administration with the people in power in charge. It's so crazy, man, because I feel like the same impulse that makes Donald Trump not help Puerto Rico is the same impulse that makes this person kill someone who's trans. Like, it's the same tributary. It's the same river. It's just different tributaries down that river. Virginia Senate passes a bill to let transgender people get new birth certificates.
Good.
Motherfucking Ralph Northam, man. Virginia, boy. They trying to get everybody to move over there.
Everybody.
The Senate passed a bill earlier this week that would allow a person who changed their sex to have a new birth certificate issued, something that the transgender community said will help eliminate problems experienced with their legal identification doesn't match their transition. Yep. Cause you know, there's some, like, that's the thing, right? You have so many hurdles when you transition, you know, changing your name, license, birth certificates, you know, and people take this shit, you know, a lot of people with cisgender, we take it for granted. Cause like, if I want to go rent an apartment and they're looking through all my past and all my paperwork and stuff, my credit history and all that stuff, I don't have to really worry about it. You know, there's no trepidation over that. But, you know, part of the things, you know, we talk about trans people, they can be underhomed, you know, like, right. Obviously underjobbed, all of this stuff. And we're like, well, how does that happen? Like, and obviously a lot of it is just straight up bigotry, mm-hmm. but a lot of it is like, I know I can't go into here and show certain like company, like not every company is woke to that, or not every company is gonna understand, like, my name used to be this and this is my credit history, but now I would like you to refer to me as another name and another gender. They're like, you know, so a lot of companies like, I'm not doing it. Or how many people just go, I'm so intimidated, I'm just not gonna apply for the job because fuck it,
right?
You know. And so passing a bill like this where it's like, boom, here's my paperwork and it matches everything, I feel like that shit would help people.
And eliminates problems.
Yeah. At least give me the confidence to try to get it rejected, I guess. Cause you never know what the fuck motherfuckers gonna do.
Right.
But, and then, I mean, cause even if you're like, quote unquote, passing, as people call it, when they see that license or they see that birth certificate, you're right back to being like basically outed. and essentially you could be denied.
Right.
And it's not illegal anymore.
Not anymore.
To discriminate against somebody who's trans at a job.
Not illegal anymore.
So it's not even illegal anymore. It's fucking insane, man. Yeah, Senate Bill 657 would allow a person to receive a new birth certificate to reflect the change of sex without the requirement of surgery. The individual seeking a new birth certificate also may list a new name if they provide a certified copy of a court order of the name change. I just think it's important to try and make life easier for people without being discriminated against or bullied, says Senator Jennifer Boyce, Fairfax. Allowing an individual who is transgender to change their birth certificate without having to go through the full surgery allows them to live the life that they are due to have. The bill requires proof from a healthcare provider that the individual went through clinically appropriate treatment for gender transition. The assessment and treatment, according to Boyce's office, is up to the medical provider. There is not a specific standard approach for an individual's transition. Yes, that's a very important, because most people measure trans by genitals.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you have not had some type of surgery, then we don't count that, you know. Which, you know, one is a bit a barrier because of cost. But then two, some people don't want to change their genitals.
No, they don't.
You know, like, and it's kind of like, just like it's no real, nobody's business when you're like a straight person's genital, it's kind of nobody's business for a trans person's genitals. I don't think that should be the be all end all of the conversation. And I mean, look, Harvey Weinstein was out here with all kinds of shit going on in his pants, and he was just living life. You know,
living his best life.
Nobody was stopping him from doing shit.
Mm-mm.
But now if I want to just want a job at Subway, I gotta fucking let you know if I transition with surgery or not. What the fuck? Treatment could include any of the following: counseling, hormone therapy, sex reassignment surgery, or patient specific approach from the medical provider. A similar process is required to obtain a passport after change of sex, according to the State Department. Once that paperwork is complete, it is submitted to the Virginia Department of Health Vital Records Department. Boyce said her constituents have reported issues when they need to show legal documents in situations like leasing apartments, opening a bank account, or applying for jobs. This is the third year that Boyce has introduced a bill. Neither bill made it out of the subcommittee in previous years, but Boyce believes the bill has a better chance of becoming a law this year.
You better while your boy in office.
Yeah, I hope so, because they out there passing everything right now.
You better.
So good luck. Let's see. Well, I guess it's almost a clear at this point, but former Illinois Congressman Aaron Schock comes out as gay. He's a Republican lawmaker. He was well known for his anti-LGBTQ voting record, opposing same-sex marriage, and the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. He opened up about his sexuality on Instagram Thursday, confirming in a lengthy post that he is gay. You know, it's so weird too, when like, because like, there's almost two worlds, right? Because it's like the gay world, where if you're out there on the scene dating people, if you're, you know, getting with escorts and stuff like that, people in the gay world kind of know, like, yeah, we kind of known for a while, this, you know, but there's like a level of respect, almost like it's almost like a code, like we can't be out here just outing motherfuckers because we don't like them.
Correct.
But at the same time, this person can make a living being like, fuck gay people, and I'm gonna make it hard for gay people to live their lives because of whatever internal conflict he has, or just if he just, maybe I don't know what a gay version of a coon is, but maybe he could be that, whatever, you know, like, you know, like that Diamond and Silk of, I mean, he wouldn't even have to change his name, okay? He could be the Diamond and Silk gay coon type of thing. Maybe that's what it feels like. But it's just so interesting because like these rumors float around because there's some validity to them, and then it becomes that stereotype. Oh, look at this gay congressman. He Republican, but we all know he's secretly gay. And then over and over, pastors and shit, over and over, he was in the pulpit. Gay people ain't shit. They going to hell. And then we will see him out of motherfucking Fire Island and shit with no shirt on, cause he gay too, you know? Schock, who resigned from Congress in 2015 amid claims he misused taxpayer funds, said the news would come as no surprise to his family, friends, and associates. Still, he said he felt compelled to make a public announcement to remove any doubt and to finally validate who I am as a person. I can live openly now as a gay man because of the extraordinarily brave people who had the courage to fight for our rights when I did not. Community activists, well, you fought against the rights, homie. Don't get it wrong. Community activist leaders and ordinary LGBT folks, the 38-year-old wrote in the post, which also touched on his Christian upbringing and ascent into the political sphere. I recognize this even in the face of the intense and sometimes vicious criticism that I've received from these same people. Well-deserved criticism, though.
Right. You act like this shit came out the motherfucking blue.
Come on, bruh. You're not the victim here.
No, you are not. And they got the right to say you are full of shit.
I mean, maybe you could say I'm the victim of, you know, this Christian upbringing and the bigotry around me, and that made me be in the closet. Like, maybe you could frame it that way, but to be like, yeah, and these gay people had nerve to be mad.
They had the nerve to say you ain't shit, and I suffered, and my people suffered, and people have died because of you. You have the right to be mad, and you can still be gay.
All I was saying was, while I was secretly gay, y'all shouldn't have been openly gay. That's all I was saying. I just wanted no one to have the right. That's it. And y'all just criticism.
He was like, how dare you?
Yeah, you gotta throw some rightfully so up in there. Like, yeah, they criticized me, rightfully so. I was tripping, you know.
Come on.
Because that's the thing, that position wasn't that unpopular, not even 10 years ago. So like, there were people who were pro marriage equality who were scared to be pro marriage equality. They would be like, civil unions is a good compromise, we don't want to piss off the Christians and the white people. And like, so there was a period of time where obviously you could be pro marriage equality and scared to be pro marriage equality, and then there were people that were legitimately just anti marriage equality because they were scared to be vocal on it at all. They were scared to be neutral. And if you're a fucking Republican, you definitely were scared. You know, you're a white male Republican Christian. You are going to be out here. You can only have this point of view. There are no pro LGBTQ Republicans allowed to prosper in that party. But yeah, this dude was a whole fraud, man. Cause, you know, in addition to this shit, he was also misusing taxpayer funds. Like, what the fuck, bro? During the time in office, he opposed marriage equality and the 2011 repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, which prohibited gay and lesbian people from serving openly in the U.S. military. He also voted against the Matthew Shepard and James Byrd Hate Crimes Prevention Act. What? Which expanded in 1969, the 1969 federal hate crime law to include victims targeted because of their sexuality and gender identity, and was signed into law in 2009. Though Shock said via his Instagram post that he support LGBTQ rights in every way I could, if he were active in Congress today, he didn't formally rescind any of his previous stances on queer issues. I realize that some of my political positions run very much counter to the mainstream of the LGBTQ movement, and I respect them for those differences. I hope people will allow for me the same.
What?
No.
That statement is stupid. No.
You don't get to still be that way. No.
Right. And we get to say, fuck you.
Yeah. Respect my difference of opinion on your humanity real quick. Is that
no.
cool?
No. No.
And then you still gonna get in the dick? What kind of shit is this?
Mm-mm.
Oh, I'm dipping and dabbling in the dick, but for the rest of y'all though, it's really out of control the things that y'all are into. I'm honestly low-key ashamed of y'all and think most of these laws and positions I held are completely valid. But hopefully we can agree to disagree.
No, the fuck we can't.
Anyway, going to the club to get some dick. Like, no, nigga. They should be able to cut him off, like a dick boycott or something.
You know no what I mean? Dick for you, sir. Smack the dick out of his hand. No.
I mean, I know it's impossible. It's like, you know, how black people can't cut off all the coons with shit. But, like, it would be nice if we could. You know? It's just like, listen, Sheriff Clark come around. None of us are speaking to him. Mm-hmm. We don't see him.
He is the bowl.
This nigga. Motherfucker. This journey has taught me a valuable lesson, whether you are gay or straight. It's never too late to be authentic and true to yourself, he added, noting also that it has not been a case of instant acceptance and understanding among family members. I can imagine, because you were a very hateful, bigoted person presenting to these people for years, so to them it feels like betrayal. They're looking at you like, what the fuck you mean, gay rights, nigga? Like, that ain't what you told me last year.
That is not what you said.
Shock, who posed shirtless for a 2011 Men's Health feature in which he proclaimed to be America's fittest congressman, had been dogged with questions about his sexuality for years. In 2009, he told Details magazine that he was not gay and doubled down in his stance in a 2012 interview with HuffPost. Those questions are completely ridiculous and inappropriate. I've said that before, and I don't think it's worthy of a further response. I think you can look it up. Shock has been largely absent from the public eye since last year when federal charges he misspent government and campaign funds were dropped. To avoid standing trial, he struck a deal with prosecutors by agreeing to pay back taxes and reimburse his campaign. Speculations over his private life had been ramping up once again as of late after snapshots and cell phone videos that appeared to show him partying with gay men at Coachella and in Brazil and appeared in a number of LGBTQ outlets. Man, he got to do a lot of damage to just kind of turn around and be like, my bad. But I think, you know, that shit is such a slippery slope, because I remember there were a couple dudes that I knew when I was like younger in high school and college, respectively, that to everyone that it was like, oh, they're flamboyantly out and gay or whatever, but they actually were not. And they would kind of, when they hung around with straight dudes, they would be like, no, I'm not.
Right. You can almost see the demeanor change.
Yeah, but I was like, but it's like, at least for me, but you know, how could you know? I mean, right. I would also assume for my safety that, like, you know, it's like hanging out with white people. Out for my safety, my assumption is any of you could be a fucking racist. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm gonna make sure and be sure before I fuck with you, you know? And so maybe that was the same feeling that these guys had, but I remember two specific occasions when the topic of like gay people came up. It was interesting because the straight dudes that typically were very homophobic were kind of tempering their opinions because, oh, there's this gay guy around. So then they wouldn't talk the way they normally talk.
Mm-mm. And a lot of them was cool with him, and they was like, right. Nah, he cool.
But what I found to be interesting though, because, you know, a lot of straight dudes are like that. It's like white people with black people. Oh, you're one of the good ones, right? So, like, they talk bad about gay people all the time. They use all kinds of homophobic slurs. But then when an actual gay dude was around, they would cut that shit out, proving that they could, right? But then also proving that they really saw this person as an exception only because they knew them and liked them, right? It was different for them. But then if that person was out of earshot, they would be right back to calling people homophobic slurs, right? But then the other thing that was interesting, and at least two interactions I can remember clearly, two different gay dudes, they were like, they were the ones who started being homophobic when the topic came up. And I don't, you know, it's that thing where I don't know if it was out of protection for themselves, trying to fit in, because it was like over the top. And you know me, like, I'm not really like some I'm not like an activist or some shit. Like, I'm not Mr. Brothers, please, let's talk about this. But in both cases, it's like I couldn't believe what was happening,
right?
You know, and it's like at that point, is, you know, because there's so many conflicting things happening, it's like I would have been insulting to them to be like, hey, you know, if you're gay, it's cool, blah blah blah, because one, I didn't know them like that, right? But then two, they were putting on this performance almost for everyone,
right?
You know what I mean? So like, if I were to say that, it would have been somewhat of an insult to be like, but you gay, you know, like, what the fuck, you know? They might have had to fight me after all the shit they were saying.
You weren't even looking for a fight,
right? You know, but it was just interesting because I think about that a lot of the times now that I'm older.
Right.
I think about that when I see these like pastors and Republicans come out later about how much animosity, it was an overcompensation of animosity.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess if you go long enough in life, it can be an overcompensation with power, right? Because a pastor has power, or a politician has power that, you know, some black kid on an HBCU campus doesn't have. He doesn't have that power,
right?
You know, but yeah, it was really crazy, like, to think about. You know, I hope both of those guys, when I think back, I hope they're living, you know, their freedom and their truth, and not feeling like they need to do that shit for anybody else, you know. And especially the homophobic part, because like, I don't even talk like that. So like, it was so awkward to be like, to have to be like, well, you know, I don't really get down like that. It's like, nah, man, F them F words. I'm like, yeah, not gonna say that, and don't really agree, but go off, you know, like, what the fuck?
Right.
It's not my shit to tell somebody not to say that is I don't know. It was such a conflicting thing, because like I want to tell you you shouldn't really be talking like that, and you definitely don't need to do that around me. But then at the same time, it is your word to say. But then at the same time, you're saying it because you're saying you're not gay. So like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? Like,
yeah, that's confusing.
Yeah. So I don't know. It doesn't
particularly hit. Younger too. Older, you kind of can decipher a little bit more. But when you're younger, yeah.
Yeah, it's the head. To me, it just made me feel sad, because I said, damn, the head trip you have to go through to think that this is the way to fit in with these dudes. And you're not really wrong. You know, like, you're not really wrong. A lot of these dudes really do think in the negative way you're saying. They just would never admit it to you.
Right.
But you know, I've been in the room when someone starts talking like that, and it's like, damn, bro, you good? Like,
you okay? Why this hostility coming?
Yeah,
from?
Like, we was talking about basketball or whatever, and now you're doing a rant about gay people, and I don't know where the fuck this is coming from.
Right.
You know. So anyway, it was a lot. All right, let's move into. Wait, let me see if I can find some happy news to leave. Nope. Fuck. Oh, here's one. Kinda. LGBTQI community psyched for a new batch of emojis. We can't give you freedom, but we can give you these emojis. 117 new emojis that can hit Apple's next update are the trans flag, a trans symbol, a gender neutral bathroom sign, a gender neutral Santa, and a rainbow cat pinata. Last week, Twitter users went wild for the new inclusive signs. Trans flag emoji, new inclusive wedding emojis, inclusive parent emojis. I'm going bonkers. I'm fucking yonkers. I love this, tweeted Lenisa Brewing. And GLAAD also lent its support, tweeting the trans flag and other inclusive emoji are being added for 2020. But there's some controversy, as the emoji pool also contains a pinched fingers emoji, which is supposed to represent the universal "what are you talking about" gesture, or the Italian phrase "maschiavoi," which means finger purse. However, it's also a rude gesture for the sexual act called fisting.
Oh, that's outside of my porn scope. I don't know what that is. Unless you're talking about like fisting or something.
I'm sure it's fisting, but my question is like, why is that controversial?
Oh, okay, I thought you meant like it's a different term. I'm like, okay, well, that's outside. Yeah,
I mean, the eggplant emoji is on there, and people use it the way they want to use it. Like, I don't know. Does it look like this? Is it this one? I don't know. Anyway, guys, that's as close as we got to good news. Let's get the fuck out of this segment.
Right? Somebody else might know better.
Yeah, that's as close as we got for today. All right, let's see what other news we got. I guess coronavirus news. You guys want to talk about that for a second? Maybe see how much you got. Fuck.
Oh, that's a.
It just keeps growing. It's Jesus,
a never-ended black hole.
All right, let me go through. More than 50% of most severe coronavirus patients in France are under the age of 60.
Right. These folks thinking they're asymptomatic. Gonna go down.
I'm telling you, we're still getting more information. I don't think, like, well, I'm not saying the numbers aren't significant or whatever, but I just think people need to be careful with this idea that, like, I can't get sick, I'm young, I'm healthy, I have nothing to worry about. Not just because you may infect other people, but are you sure?
I don't know. I just assume that I can get it, so I'm like, I'm staying my black ass in the house.
Well, not just that, but like, underlying conditions are what make it worse. Like, right. getting it while being a pretty healthy person might not be the end of the world. But what if you're not a pretty healthy? What if you find out you got leukemia? You ain't know.
Right, because a lot
like,
of
like this how you find out.
Yeah, because y'all know how the healthcare system here is in America. People walking around with shit undiagnosed and fuck around and that and corona shake hands and you out of here.
CNN reports Jerome Solomon, the director general for health, announced the statistics Saturday night as the country saw a jump in new virus cases. We have counted this evening 300 serious cases in intensive care. We have serious cases also amid adults. Let me remind you that more than 50% of people in intensive care are under 60. He did not specify the age range of those younger than 60 in intensive care. During a news conference Monday, Solomon said France is struggling to curb the spread of the coronavirus in the country, and authorities were considering whether to implement a partial lockdown. He said that despite the government's recommendations, many citizens were continuing to gather in public places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you got that going. Let's see. Israel will track coronavirus sufferers' phones and alert anyone who comes into contact with them. That's a new tactic. So they can track your phone, be like, this motherfucker was at Kroger. Okay, they went to the deli. Everybody be careful. You got to test everybody that was over at the Kroger deli.
Don't.
You got to get a hand on this shit.
Nope.
Just go ahead, let it spread. I feel you.
No, because
take their word for it.
Because the thing is, how can I say it? If you start doing that, when people do come in, they're going to give you false names and fake names. Because people don't want to be flagged like that. That's why motherfuckers need to just stay their asses at home.
Mm-hmm. But when they don't, what are we supposed to do?
And
well, it's just too bad.
And
everybody at Harris Teeter, y'all got it.
I mean, that's the problem. Mean, so when they walk in, everybody's phone just go ding a ding a ding a ding a ding ding across the fucking restaurant.
I don't know.
Wherever you at, everybody just alert that you are the victim. Like,
nah, it's not like that.
Because people are stupid. So I can see people getting attacked and beat up and all types of shit.
Yeah, I think you think it's going to be like, this nigga got the corona.
Yes.
But Karen, how you gonna beat up somebody that got the corona? You gonna get it. That doesn't even make sense.
People in big ass groups at the fucking beach knowing they got warnings don't make sense. People are irrational and illogical. I do not know. People are X factor. We never know how people are gonna respond.
The draconian measure involves harvesting geolocation data to plot people's movements and sending them warning messages if they cross paths with confirmed carriers. The spying powers are usually only reserved for tackling Palestinian-linked terrorism, but an extension of their use for a limited period was signed off by the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's cabinet on Monday night. The move is part of Israel's sweeping measures to contain the virus. These also include prison sentences of up to 6 months for anyone breaching isolation orders and police being allowed to use reasonable force to break up gatherings of 10 or more people.
Yeah, and also and like I said, because the way I look at it too, this is a great way to track people. So let's say we do curtail this and cut this down. You think they're gonna fucking stop tracking you? No.
I hope so.
They won't. They don't. They, once they got the information, it's theirs, and I don't trust them.
They already track the people they already tracking them. Like, they track them for terrorism related stuff. They just using it for something different this time.
So now you can.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just see it as getting to the point, because the conspiracy person in me, like, okay, where does it stop then? Do we turn them off, or we just gonna track everybody and their mama? Like, I know they track people anyway, don't get me wrong, but it's just one of those things where I'm like, you're telling me that you're using it for this, but there's always an underlying thing underneath it that is gonna be used for something else other than the purposes that you're telling me that it's used for.
Yeah, I feel you. You know, my personal belief is, I believe they already doing this in America and everywhere. You know, it's kind of like when people go, you know, I need a extra program to keep Facebook from knowing what websites I'm visiting and shit. I'm like, oh, they own that. It's too late.
They tracking
so
me, yeah.
They using it this time. Like, now you just know they using it for something else, but they using it, you know? Coronavirus has hit all 50 states as West Virginia announces their first case officially. That was fast.
Real fast, wasn't it?
Wasn't it just last week? It was like, oh, Seattle, New York. Like, dude, you should be straight if you up all 50 states.
It was all good a week ago.
We're more connected than ever. Saturday Night Live is going on indefinite hiatus because of the coronavirus pandemic.
Right.
A coronavirus patient tests positive despite overusing hand sanitizer.
Not washing the hands with soap and water like they was telling people to.
So I don't know. Maybe he was doing both. A young, fit South Korean coronavirus patient said he contracted the deadly illness despite overusing hand sanitizer and taking several healthy precautions, as he warns others not to be stupidly overconfident. Hyun Park, a 48-year-old university professor, wrote on Facebook that he wanted to share his experience as a lesson to help friends and loved ones to ward off the highly contagious virus. Park said he lived a healthy lifestyle, so he was stupidly overconfident about his chances of getting infected. I was a healthy guy, going to the gym 5 times a week, washing hands all the time, overusing hand sanitizer, staying in the coronavirus free area. So I was naive and stupid to think that it is not my problem. But last month, he began to experience a very mild sore throat as well as a dry cough, which quickly progressed into discomfort in his chest. Within days, he had began having trouble breathing, so he decided to get tested for the virus on February 24th. Next day, 4 days after he displayed initial mild symptoms, the test came back positive, and he was hospitalized due to the severity of his condition. Since then, my condition were up and down several times a day. But following 8 days of hospitalization, he finally tested negative for COVID-19, placing him on the path to recovery. After the reality check, he's now cautioning others to take the virus that has infected more than 196,000 people worldwide seriously. We need to stay healthy and positive to keep our condition well and immune system high. Fear and panic do not help us at all. And also, we should not take this lightly.
I wonder if he used too much, like us hand sanitizer. I don't know. Did he dry his skin out?
I don't think it's that, man. I just think, like, one, we touch our faces all the fucking time.
Yeah.
Two, they told people stop doing shit. And right. He was like, but I'm healthy. I'm not gonna get too sick because I live a good lifestyle. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to the gym 5 days a week because ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do. It's the same stupid shit I'll be seeing on Facebook. Mm-hmm. You know? I wasn't joking.
I'm gonna get them dollar plane tickets. What, bitch?
Yeah, like I wasn't joking when I was like, yo, I went from my friend is headlining the festival to being like, nigga, you still going to Planet Fitness? Like, you might want to think about this. You know, the YMCA is closed, and then unfortunately these places have to do it for the people.
Correct.
Because people are kind of dumb, you know, and it's like when you get on certain kicks, you know, you're on a fitness kick right now, you're gonna keep wanting to go to the gym no matter what the fuck they say. You know, now look, it might be more safe for you to just take a walk around your block, go jogging or something. But people don't give a fuck, you know, like they're just, you have to protect people from themselves. You have to say you can't go to a restaurant. We have to tell the restaurant you have to close.
Yeah, to go only, delivery only. If people can't come in here and sit down because if you're open, they're going to bring their asses in here and sit down.
I had friends that were going to these festivals and tournament of like these, oh, this conference is happening. I'm like, don't go. It's just not worth going, dog. It's like, it's very fucking serious. And luckily for us, these conferences start getting canceled. And it's like, okay, cool. Maybe now they'll
people
reconsider
seriously
that this is not just a thing that's gonna go away, or you know, there's gonna be a miracle cure that happens tomorrow. Like there's a reason this is being advised. And I still take it back to even people that hate him still in a weird way kind of let Donald Trump set the tone for America. Even the ones who claim to hate him and think he lies about everything, when he said it was no big deal, they started treating it like it was no big deal.
Yes, they did.
And I don't believe a word that comes out that man's mouth. So I was immune, like, maybe we shouldn't even go out to eat right now. You know, I was saying that, what, a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So airlines are begging for a bailout, but they've used 96% of their cash on buybacks over the past 10 years. Their plight highlights an ongoing controversy on how companies have been spending their money. So the Trump administration has responded to the airline industry's request and proposed a $50 billion bailout as part of its massive $1 stimulus package. The ultimate goal is to jolt the American economy by flooding it with cash. Major airlines are reeling from the massive waves of cancellations as Americans stay home and governments around the world implement travel bans to curb the spread of the coronavirus. We cannot afford to wait long for assistance, the Trade Association Airlines for America said in a statement, warning that some companies could be bankrupt by June. But there's a catch. Over the past decade, major airlines, including Delta Airlines, United Airlines, and Southwest, have used roughly 96% of their available cash on stock buybacks. By reducing share count, these repurchases have pushed stock prices higher. In the process, they've drawn criticism for how they boost shareholder returns without directly helping the businesses. The activity is central to a broader discussion about how companies use their cash and whether they should be doing something different. Some experts argue that these companies should have instead used the proceeds to build themselves a financial cushion or address labor issues. Tim Wu, a Columbia University professor, targeted American Airlines in a recent New York Times op-ed. It could have stored up its cash reserves for a future crisis, knowing the airlines regularly cycle through booms and busts, Wu wrote. It might have tried to decisively settle its continuing contract disputes with pilots, flight attendants, and mechanics. He added, it might have invested heavily in better service quality to try and repair its long-standing reputation as the worst of the major carriers. Going beyond academia, The prospect of an airline bailout also a wave of criticism from prominent Democrats such as Representative AOC. 96% of airline profits over the last decade went to buying up their own stocks to juice the price, not raising wages or other investments. If there's so much as a dime of corporate bailout money in the next relief package, it should include a reinstated ban on stock buybacks. Yeah, coronavirus exposing motherfuckers, man. Fox and Friends host says he hasn't washed his hands in 10 years. Germs are not a real thing.
Ooh, he got shit on his hands from Rick and Morty. It's some shit from another planet that's just growing on his hands. I hope he ain't mad. Don't fucking touch me. I might goddamn melt. 10 years, my nigga! Do you know how much shit you touch in 10 years?
Yep. Germs.
Oh my god, I would be like, if you don't get the fuck out of this goddamn office.
Germs are not a real thing. I can't see them.
What?
Following a commercial break.
You can't see air, but you breathing. The fuck is this?
Following a commercial break, host Jebediah Biller. Jebediah, now that's a name that you just do not.
Ooh, Jebediah.
Oh, Jedediah. You don't see a lot of Jedediahs that are very woke.
He got a dia and he gonna die if he gonna fuck around.
He revealed that Haig Seth has been munching on day-old pizza that was left on the set. Pizza Hut lasts for a long time, Haig Seth replied, defending himself. My 2019 resolution is to say things on the air that I say off the air. I don't think I wash my hands for 10 years. Really, I don't really wash my hands ever. I inoculate myself. Germs are not a real thing. I can't see them, therefore they're not real.
Oh, so you've been wiping your ass and all the time, and you haven't washed your fucking hands.
He argued that his unsanitary habits leave him immune to sickness. These hands look pretty clean to me, he remarked. Yeah, here's the real problem with this. This is on Fox and Friends. People are watching this, and what they're really, the subtle thing they're trying to do underneath this, or subtle, I guess, if you're an idiot, is be like, yeah, this coronavirus shit is not a big deal. It's just some germs. Don't worry about it. Meanwhile, all they listeners, all they viewers in the motherfucking target group.
All them 70s, 80s, and 90s.
IRS has postponed the April 15 tax payments for 90 days for most taxpayers.
So if you owe, you got some more time to get your money together.
You know it's serious when the government, like, brought the taxes right now. Donald Trump wants checks for Americans immediately, y'all. He wants to send $1,000 checks to each person, each working American.
What's the catch? We have to pay it back.
Well, they haven't said yet. But
plus interest.
They listen. $1,000 checks for every adult American. I think we need to give them a chance, y'all. I think it's time to hear Donald Trump out. Is all I'm saying. Okay. I think we've been pretty tough on the guy. And now that we could potentially be getting $1,000 out of this, you know, maybe the coronavirus is a hoax. For all that I know, you know, just drink more water and stay in your bunkers, and just we'll cash the checks, and if they don't bounce, we'll see what happens in November, you know.
It's gonna be like the check cash in place. It's gonna be a 50% interest.
Okay, all right. Karen's gonna keep that same energy, I guess.
Yes, I am. I will take your check, cash it, and still say fuck you.
Amazon is suspending shipment creations for sellers without household necessities. They say household items are a top priority.
Yeah, they tired of motherfuckers buying Kleenex and tin and paper towels and hand sanitizer. We can't keep that shit in stock.
Well, that said, in a statement released by Amazon, we're temporarily prioritizing household staples, medical supplies, and other high-demand products coming into our fulfillment centers so that we can more quickly receive, restock, and deliver these products to customers. So it looks like they're trying to do a better job delivering those things. For major retailers, online shops, and drop shippers that sell products outside of household necessities, Amazon will be temporarily disabling their shipment creation function. So... That's how big the demand for the things you brought up,
right? And a lot of some of this stuff is possibly hospitals, and you know, because I'm pretty sure those places use Amazon too, because Amazon's so fucking big. So you have people that are like ordering these for needs and nursing homes and shit like that, and they was like, we got to make, and personal needs, that's like, we got to make this shit our top priority, and this other stuff isn't life and death.
They're also going to hire 100,000 more employees amid the coronavirus crisis.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
I mean,
I'm glad people are working, but there's a lot of people.
Well, there's a lot of people out of a job right now, too.
Correct.
So, I don't know, you know.
We're going to keep people 6 feet away from each other.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work, you know. South Africa launches a travel ban on U.S., U.K., and other high-risk countries amid coronavirus crisis. Because we trash. They're like, stay the fuck out. Keep you and your coronavirus president the fuck away from here.
Y'all got them other prime ministers and shit sick. No.
The last one. Americans don't trust what they're hearing from Trump on coronavirus.
Of course not. He lies about every fucking thing.
Just 46% of Americans now say the federal government is doing enough to prevent the spread of coronavirus, which is down from 61% in February.
You don't say. Shit start. People's like, I can't go to my St. Patrick's Day parade. Oh shit, no, now it's a problem.
Just 37% of Americans now say they had a good amount or great deal of trust in what they're hearing from the president, while 60% say they had not very much or no trust at all in what he's saying. Still, 37% is fucking high. God, you idiots. The president rates worst of all tested, be it public health officials, state and local leaders, or the news media. And more Americans disapprove of the president's handling of the pandemic than approve, by 49% to 44% margin. Well, he stays with that 45% margin.
Yeah, them people ain't never gonna turn.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know who's asking who, but them motherfuckers right there, there's nothing he could do. But that does not differ greatly from his overall job approval of 43%. Yep. It's largely unchanged from the last survey in February. 51% said they still said they approve of the president's handling of the economy, despite the massive slides in the stock market related to coronavirus of late. Public health officials got the highest level of trust at 84%, followed by those state and local leaders, 72%. Americans were split 50% to 47% on whether they can trust information coming from the news media or not. Oh God.
Yeah, I wonder who they're questioning.
Yeah, well, also, like, what media? Because I guess right. If you said Fox News, if they count as the news media, I'd be like, no, I don't trust them niggas.
Right.
You know, so I guess it depends on what media, but I have
and
a feeling
depends
that it's
on who you ask to, like, right, how many people of color.
Yeah, well, not people of color. Nah, I just feel like my guess is the people going, you can't trust the media, are more of those, like, it's fake news, Donald Trump said. That's my guess.
Right.
But who knows for sure. You need to get into the reasons they don't trust the news.
Right.
But Republicans still fuck with them. Republicans think the coronavirus is blown out of proportion. Trump initially underplayed the threat of the novel coronavirus, and that appears to have affected how seriously some Americans, particularly Republicans, are taking the threat of the highly contagious virus. Just 40% of Republicans now say it's a real threat, which is down from 72% in February. So more of them believed it was a threat in February.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump says no big deal, it's a hoax, and now 40% of them think it's a threat. So it's gone down 32%.
Well, let me tell you why, because motherfuckers are shutting shit down and people looking at them like, oh, what the fuck y'all gonna
you're
do?
Reading the stat wrong, Karen. No.
Oh,
72% thought it was a threat in February.
Oh, they thought it was a threat.
40% now think it's a threat.
Oh, it went backwards. The fuck is this? Why did it reverse?
A majority of Republicans, 54%, said they think it's been blown out of proportion, more than double what it was in February, which is 23%.
They trying to kill everybody. The fuck is this?
Because there's they have a propaganda wing of the party over there at Fox News, and Fox News is telling them it's not a big deal. The president's got it under control. Everyone's tripping. He said it's fake news. He says he has no responsibility for it, but he also has the perfect plan to fix it. And, you know, I think that shit is affecting stuff.
Yes, it is, because I don't want to die because y'all up here fucking around. Yep. I don't want my family members to die. I don't want my loved ones to die. I don't want to be without a job. I don't want the economy to tank. I don't want not to have money because y'all fucking are fucking around and don't take this bullshit seriously.
Independents also have dropped from 2/3 in February to just half, thinking it's a real threat. Democrats, on the other hand, have gone the opposite direction. 70% in February said it was a real threat, and now 76%. Since the last survey, much of the country has hit pause on regular daily life. Many states have closed schools, many bars, restaurants are shut down, and Americans are being urged to keep their distance from each other for an extended period of time until the pandemic is under control in the United States. So, yep. Day president. I'm calling the shots for all of us.
Yep.
And they eat it up. They believe the shit. All right. Let's see. Where else I want to go? Actually, you know what? All right. Let's get to some other news, guys. Megan Thee Stallion reveals she has a 2.7 GPA. And then the internet rudely responds, speaks on 1501 lawsuit and partying with the Carters. Wait. People think a 2.7 GPA is bad in college?
That's good.
In college?
Shit, college hard. I don't know about much, but shit, college is hard. Like, getting a degree is not easy, my niggas.
Like,
I got one. That's why I ain't get another one. I was like, I'm good.
Cause like it only go to four, right?
Unless you
got one of them like schools that give you them like the classes where you get extra over than more than 4.0.
Yeah.
Like 2.7 isn't bad. It might not be quote unquote good, but it's not like bad. Like I didn't know 2.7 was bad. You can graduate with a 2.7, right?
Yeah, 2.7 is good because. My nigga, people was getting less than that, and they probably not doing half the shit she doing. She torn. She doing a lot of fucking shit.
Yeah, you. I don't know, man. That's kind of a weird flex.
A lot of people love a 2.7.
Yeah, it's not like she brought it up to say like, "Oh my god, bitch, I got a 2.7. You niggas need to get on my level." Like they asked her, and she actually said she was a little bit embarrassed about having a 2.7. And I think you know what? I think it's also because. We publicize so much shit as black excellence and all this stuff that you can't really be a normal black person.
You can't be average.
Like if you go to college, you gotta be like the fucking smartest person in the college or something. You can't just be like, yeah, I got a 2.7 and graduated like everybody fucking else at this school. Like, no, Megan, you need to have a 4.0 or you need to be on the dean's list or some shit. I don't know. I'm not calling it good, obviously. But I just didn't know that was bad. But you know, that's also how fucking fake people are online.
Right.
Because you could get online. I guess all of us ended up with 3 points online, huh?
Right.
Everybody online was a valedictorian.
Everybody online got us fucking straight A's and the fives and the six. Cause that's the thing. A lot of these niggas getting her, they goddamn lying. Some of them barely passed high school. A lot of people got D's and F's and barely made it through walking around here with 2.0s and shit like that. And this, and my thing is you're not knocking it, but my thing is while you criticizing her grades, she's like, This is the best that I can do.
Also, like, straight up, I don't even remember what my GPA was in college.
I don't either.
You know, I don't even remember. Now that I think about it, because it's really not that fucking important.
But once they put that goddamn piece of paper in your hand, nobody gives a fuck.
It's really like, did you get the degree or not?
Right.
You know? Now look, maybe if you was like some nerdy nigga that didn't have a lot of fun and you really took it like super duper serious and, like, yeah, sure, you probably did get like a 4.0 or some shit. But like, if you was having any level of fun the first time out of the house living all this experience, yeah, you probably did. Everyone had that one semester or that one year where it's like, nigga, I didn't think I was gonna make it. I was having too much fun. Like that's how you learn what too much fun is.
You learn what your limit is.
Yeah, it took me 5 years to get out of school, man. Like I don't have no room to flex.
Oh yeah, I went 5 years because I was like, bitch, I'm not taking no more than 12 credit hours a semester. One semester I took 9. And people was like, why don't you take 15 to 18? Bitch, no. And I didn't do some school.
And we had jobs.
Right, I was working. I was a waitress. I was an RA. Bitch, I worked.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Honey, I was like a 2.7. Yes, bitch, I'll take it. You know, there's some degrees where you go, I don't want no dummies, you know, doctors and shit like that. It's some fields where you go, no, I need for a little bit higher. But if you like a regular ass nigga with a regular ass degree, nobody gives a fuck.
What a weird flex, man. That is such a weird flex, man.
Right, because if I went through some of the people that was criticizing her and quote unquote joking on her, let's go back through your transcripts.
I think I got out with like a 2.88 maybe. Something like that. I can't remember. it felt like it was like a high two though. It don't feel like it was I don't think I made it to the threes, and up until that point I had been over 3.0 in everything I'd ever done, you know, like, you know, but also I had never been valedictorian or anything like that, because I didn't want it that bad. Like, I still wanted to go out and do hood rat shit with my friends.
Right.
And have some semblance of a life. Like,
right. Cause I remember those people who took 18 and 21 hours a semester and finished school in like 3.5 or 2 years.
I changed majors. And I was on scholarship for most of my, college too, by the way. I still had to pay for like a year though, cause I wasn't on scholarship the last like 1 or 2 years, but, I don't know, man. This is one of them, to me, non-controversies. Like, if you told me that in person, I wouldn't be like, damn, nigga, how you even in school? I'd be like, yeah, that's about what the fuck happens.
That's about average. And truth be, particularly if you know you worked your ass off for it, because I'm not trying to be, it was some classes, honey, where they gave a C. That was the hardest ass C. I was so out of the hat. Yes, I will take the motherfucking C.
You know what, it means when you get a really high GPA in college, and I don't mean this to slight anybody, but it means you were really good at college. You know what I mean? Like, you were good at going to class, good at being disciplined and studying. You know, you were good at the academic part of college, which is nothing to sneeze at. But, you know, for most people, it's not what college is gonna be. It's gonna be, you know, I hung out with my friends and I got drunk when I shouldn't have got drunk, and I fucking stayed up too late and I missed class and I played basketball and I skipped shit that I shouldn't have skipped. Like, you know,
many days I was like, not today, and rolled my ass over and went to sleep.
You know, and I know ain't none of us outworking Megan in real life, so.
Come on!
You know, I don't know. It just seemed like people was.
All the shit she do at 2.7 ain't nothing to fucking sneeze at, my nigga.
People was clowning her hard. That's crazy to me, man.
I can't even imagine, you know, all the shit she does, because when I was at school, I worked a full-time job night shift at Shoney's and with the school. Bitch, I would get up at 9. I would make sure all my classes over at 4. I would come to the dorm. I would take about a 2-hour nap. I would have to be to work by 6, and I work from 6 p.m. to about midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning. Then I would come back and actually study and do homework for about 1 or 2 in the morning to about 3 or 4. Go to sleep and do that bitch all over again. So I'm trying to tell you right now, if her schedule is anything like that, a 2.7 is good.
Yeah, bitch, and like, being good at school don't necessarily mean you're smart. It doesn't make you stupid either.
Correct.
But, you know, you can be good at school. We all know them niggas. Like, they good at school and we like, this nigga can't tie his shoes. But, got 7 PhDs.
Yeah, he good at school, but you don't have no personality skills. You good at school, but you socially awkward and shit like that.
Yeah, so, I don't know, man. It just seemed like a weird place to ding her as somehow being, you know, a terrible person or whatever. Let's see, what else do I feel like talking about? Maybe we can get into don't want to talk fucking with black people. Yeah, I guess so. Why not? Actually, no. I don't want to be fucked with today.
Okay, about a second. We've been fucked with all week.
Yeah, it's kind of a downer episode.
We've been fucked with all
week. Something a little bit more upbeat, guys. A little more fun.
I'm glad we turned that train around.
How about this segment instead? Oh, whenever you want to play. It is. Okay.
They ain't gonna like me. They ain't gonna like me. I be getting to the money. Everybody, man. Think I'm getting too much money. Everybody, man. Same old nigga from the block. Same old nigga with the top. Same old nigga from the trap. Everybody hated on the Danny Brown's right back.
Black capitalists, let's talk about these niggers.
Not with a hard R.
An 11-year-old New York City boy opens a thrift shop for low-income families.
Wonderful.
I wanted to be a hero, he says.
Come on, I want to be a hero! Oh!
It's so sad to see 11-year-old children indoctrinated into white supremacist capitalism patriarchal bullshit.
What is he talking about?
It's so sad to see them already doing this. Karen, what do you think?
Oh, that baby's so precious.
Right? Look at him. A precious capitalist.
Yes, he is.
They're trying to use his community against themselves. Yeah. Gentrifying their clothes.
Baby gonna do great things out here helping people.
A thrift store ain't nothing but gentrifying clothes. Y'all heard it here first.
What?
Write it down, put it on a t-shirt. But don't sell it. Okay? Because that's capitalism.
No.
Obocho Peters is a fifth grader on a mission to make sure those who are less fortunate are able to dress to impress. With that in mind, the 11-year-old from Brooklyn, New York runs Obocho's Closet, a thrift store selling affordable donated clothes and shoes for kids for under $10. So wait, let me get this right. Y'all applauding this child, this Los Angeles Naker, for getting clothes for free and then selling them to the community? I'm supposed to applaud this capitalism? No, you're supposed to give these clothes away the same way you got them. He is making a tidy little profit. I don't like to see it. I hate to see it.
His time and his labor.
The labor belongs to the people, Karen. Unless it's our labor, then it goes to my bank account. The project initially started in 2018 as an online thrift shop, but has since outgrown its digital life. And in December, on his birthday, Obocho opened the first brick and mortar store in Brooklyn, his neighborhood of Flatbush.
Happy birthday to you, baby.
It makes me feel like the hard work I've been doing in this community has finally paid off. Oh, finally, 11-year-old. It took you a long time to make it. The WNYW, Jericho Van has been twirling for 83 years, okay? You're only 11. He told WNYW.
You knew this, boy.
He told WNYW at the store's grand opening, which even had Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams in attendance.
Aww.
Obocho was able to get his dream off the ground thanks in part to a GoFundMe page, which explained the inspirational backstory to his mission. The student wrote that after seeing Avengers Infinity War, he asked his mom, Sasha Peters, for 8 toys from the film. When Peters said she couldn't afford 8 toys, he took matters into his own hands, selling clothes and shoes he no longer wore to pay for them himself. See, it came from a selfish motivation. He wasn't trying to help the community. He was trying to help himself.
Hustler.
To Hawkeye and Black Captain Widow
American.
And Captain America.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's what he was trying to do.
The Hulk.
I realize what the other families must face the same challenges with taking care of their children. That idea turned into a mission I had today to help the community grow.
Oh.
My pockets. I was inspired by all the superheroes helping to make the world a better place. I wanted to be a hero myself by helping my mom. Peter's a single mom from St. Thomas, U.S. Virgin Islands, helped her son launch his website and spotted an entrepreneurial spirit, signed him up for business classes at the school. You have to nurture kids when they come up with ideas, and you have to pay attention to everything they say because they're telling you how to groom them to be a better version of themselves, the capitalist told the outlet. Because Obocho's Closet is for a for-profit business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for profit.
You Negroes fell for it again.
For profit, yeah.
Thank God I'm so woke.
Obocho
wrote, well, when he's a billionaire, y'all will be calling him evil and saying we need to take his means of productions and kill him and cut his head off in the revolution. So don't get me started. I'm just on it early, okay?
I didn't say that.
I spotted him early before he became Tony Stark, okay?
He's trying to make it easier for his mama.
Mm-hmm. That's what the excuse is, okay? That's what Jay-Z told y'all. And now look at y'all. Y'all hate Jay-Z. Obocho wrote on his GoFundMe page that he found a different way to give back to his community, hosting free financial literacy seminars geared towards teaching parents and kids how to save for college or pursue other goals like entrepreneurship. Oh, so he telling you Negroes not to buy Jordans and to get passports, and y'all fell for it because
that's not what that said.
Because he's an adorable little 11-year-old with a fro.
That is not what that said.
I tell you, boy, the devil come, he being melanin, and all y'all fall for it. His efforts even earned reportedly him the title the Hero of the Month in June from Adams. This young man personifies the great things young people are doing across our country, particularly in Brooklyn, he said on Good Morning America.
Oh, that's sweet.
So sad to see you blacks just easily led astray.
I guess I am, then. That's sweet. That's precious.
Thank you. Charlamillionaire, Chamillionaire, Chamillionaire, Damn, it's been so long since he was famous, I forgot how to pronounce Chameleonaire. Damn. Thank you, Chameleonaire. Invest in the 16-year-old black girl sauce company. Owner talks impressive sales and new deals. Chameleonaire has invested in a sauce company that's owned by a 16-year-old girl from Houston, Texas. The company, owned by Tyler Simone Creighton, is called Sienna Sauce and offers sauces in the flavors of spicy, tangy, and lemon pepper. All three Negro favorites.
You know it, dog.
Creighton.
How they like their wings.
Creighton was the runner-up in a contest that Chameleonaire and E40 created last year, where they offered to give $25,000 to invest to a minority or female-owned startup. The rapper's investment in the sauce company is said to be under $10,000. Sienna Sauce was a runner-up in my pitch competition, and I really like tracking this company, said Chameleonaire in a statement on his site, republic.co. I invested in Sienna Sauce because I back startups that have domain expertise, resiliency, and a roadmap that I believe could potentially lead to success. So you basically invest in so you can make some money. So it's not even out the goodness of your heart. This is really just you investing like you investing in stock. So he just, how much are you expecting to rob this little girl out of whenever the money, the sauce money start coming in?
Whatever. I might be ordering some Sienna sauce.
Him and E40, oh, Sprinkle Me Maine over here taking advantage of the black community through our biggest weakness, delicious barbecue sauce that none of us can resist.
We can't.
This is how they get us. And then years from now, when they cutting off this little girl's foot because of the diabetes, y'all gonna just be applying Chameleonaire. Oh, thank God he gave her the money for the sauce to poison the community.
How do we get to this extreme?
Chameleonaire posted a video on his Instagram page on Monday, March 2nd, where he congratulated Creighton, who also spoke. We're finalizing a deal with 7 states and 80 stores, and we are closing the deal as well with 16 schools for the sauce to be in their cafeteria. So when you invest in Sienna Sauce, you're investing in the future. Oh, God. Now the kids gonna be eating this. Michelle Obama told y'all stop fucking with this shit in the schools. And what y'all do? Let Trump get in office and put the sauce right back on the shelf.
You can't do that. Mm-mm-mm. Those things are not related.
Oh, God. Creighton started making sauce at the young age of 8. And last year.
8? Woo!
Yeah, some people make sauce, some people sell crack at that age. Both of them horrible for the community.
No, there is a difference. There is a difference. Now, they both could be addictive, but no, there is a difference.
Last year, her company reportedly reached $191,000 in revenue.
Come on.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This little girl is going to be a millionaire black capitalist at such a young age.
Yes, she is. Speak on it.
So sad. We losing the children so early. We all know the only good black person is a broke black person, okay?
What? No!
That's one thing us and Republicans agree on. The super wokes and the Republicans, we all agree. Blacks, keep them broke. Okay?
No.
That's the problem.
That is not the
problem.
They get
some money and now they talking about money can fix the community and Beyonce and Jay-Z billionaires and, you know, how it goes down in the elevator. This is the problem with us. We worship these celebrities and this money in a way that no one else does. It's too bad for black people. We got to stop it.
Oh, Lord.
We have to rob this little girl, y'all. It's the only way to make it right.
You better not.
The teen is originally from Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn. Oh, what is going on in Brooklyn?
Oh.
And then she moved to Texas. She created a sauce that reminded her of one that she loved back home. Now, see, that's how I know it's a lie. So it's a barbecue sauce in Brooklyn that you loved more than the shit that's in Texas already? Okay, sis. Before getting the investment from Chameleonaire, Creighton had.
Why are you hating on the children today? What's
I'm hating on
you?
Capitalism, Karen. I'm hating on capitalism.
Hating on the babies.
I keep the same energy no matter what age the capitalist
hating
is.
Hating on the babies.
Both
no.
of these kids is making more money than me.
Yes.
And God damn it, I'm tired of it, Karen. The revolution is coming for these little kids.
They worked hard for their money.
And it will be led by me and this podcast. I won't be happy until we redistribute all of their wealth. And they broke like me.
No, they keep their money.
Before getting the investment from Chameleonaire, Creighton had won $10,000 in a revolt pitch competition for a company, along with $25,000 in the side hustle showdown on ABC's Straight Hand, Sarah and Kiki. The sauce company thanked Chameleonaire for his investment as well as his co-sign on Tuesday. So sad. Because he got it in his name, Chameleonaire, which tells you what? He about some money, that capitalism.
Mm-hmm, that's fine.
That's so sad to see. All right, we need to get the hell out of this segment because I can't take this.
You and that anger.
Yeah, I know y'all see me rolling to the next segment. Y'all think I'm hating because I'm catching these capitalists out here riding dirty.
They're not riding dirty. They let you know what they're doing.
Yeah, I'm sick of it. Okay, guys, it's time for us to stop worshiping at the feet of these neoliberals and these corporatists. Okay, let's move on. As black people, will be for the best. Now that it's time for some guest the race. That's right, it's guest the race time. Now that it's time for some guest the race. That's right, it's guest the race time. That's right, it's time for guest the race. The number one game show going across all the podcast land. We read and play news articles from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen in the chat room, to guess the race. And of course, everyone playing is a stone cold racist. All right, let's get right into it, guys. Mother and daughter attack mother's boyfriend, victim stabbed multiple times. 53-year-old Joyce Bean was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon after an argument ensued between her and her boyfriend, during which she told him, "Get out of my house and I want my teeth back."
Oh, not my teeth!
She then began attacking him and ended up stabbing him multiple times, but not before her daughter was able to jump in and get some licks on her own. Police reported that Joyce Bean and Wendell Harris have been dating for 6 years. On February 24th, police responded to a domestic call in reference to the couple. When police arrived, they made contact with Wendell, Joyce, and her daughter on the at the intersection of Hermosa Street. Wendell's right hand and bottom teeth were bleeding. Joyce and her daughter were screaming, taking him to jail. You have a 12-hour hold, bitch. Joyce stated that she woke up and found Wendell's phone filled with messages from another woman while Wendell was sleeping. Joyce got up.
Lock it.
Mm-hmm. Joyce got up and began arguing with him, stating, "Get out of my house and I want my teeth back." Wendell got up, grabbed his teeth and clothes, and attempted to leave, but Joyce began yelling and grabbing at him in an attempt to thwart his exit. Joyce's daughter began fighting Wendell as well when she saw her mother involved in an altercation with him. Wendell told police that during the time, a knife was presented and he was stabbed in his right hand multiple times, but he did not fight back and only attempted to leave. Joyce was determined to be the primary aggressor, giving her statements, along with the fact that she initiated the physical altercation and refused to allow Wendell to leave the residence with his belongings. Her daughter fled the scene before police were able to interview her. Joyce was arrested and charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. A bond was set at $10,000. Karen, guess the race of Joyce Bean.
Joyce Bean. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go white.
It sounds like she bought him the teeth and he tried to take his teeth with him. And she was like, them my teeth.
I paid for them bitches.
You leave with what you came in here with. Half your teeth. this is a gaggle of niggers, says Miss Barnes. Traditional family values white. Black, because white women don't let homeless men move in their homes. 6 years of dating and no marriage? Black. Don't make Joyce have to cut a nigga. Black, a white woman. Everything you own in the box to the left. Black, the correct answer is... Karen said white.
Mm-hmm.
It's black.
I was going by that last name.
Some of you did get it right, though. Many of you said black. Did a picture show up?
Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, that's not like Negro tendencies, but I was just, that name.
Mm-hmm. Also, she knew the jail holding system a little too well.
She did, my bad.
She was like, 12-hour hold, bitch. I'm like, how you know? Because I've been in there several times. Ask about me. They know Joyce Bean. Let's see. Salt Lake City police arrested a man on Friday. Friday, suspicion of assaulting an elderly woman. Police say Daniel Mutambala, 18, got upset at his 84-year-old grandmother, who he lives with, and then he kicked her in the chest, knocking her unconscious.
Kicked her in the chest!
She ain't gotta worry about Corona getting her.
Woo, no she don't. She gotta worry about her grandson. Size 12, put a chest.
She was transported to the hospital because she was having trouble breathing.
You don't say.
An update on her condition was unavailable. Mutambala then resisted arrest, police say, pulling away from officers and getting into a fighting stance. He was tased and taken into custody. He was arrested on charges of felony, aggravated abuse of an elder adult, and misdemeanor interference with an arresting officer. Karen, guess the race of Daniel Mutambala.
Daniel Mutambala?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go white.
Okay.
Yeah.
Grandma didn't pistol whip his ass, gotta be white. African. Stink meaner, kick black. African who has been out with them white folks so long, he hit his granny. Black. Nigerian done lost his damn mind. You did say Salt Lake, right? That was just to throw you off. The scent. African booty scratcher. Black. If you buck black. Was challenging his elder for the throne and the title of Black Panther.
That's having that fight.
Continent black, Nigerian, white, white. Killmonger wasn't right. Has the strength of the Black Panther. Pinta. Nigga that will beat an old woman for her social security check. Karen said white, right?
Mm-hmm.
You got absolutely wrong. He's black.
I'll take that L, cause the reason why I didn't think it was
black
is because he kicked her in the chest and she didn't find the strength to get back up and whoop his ass.
Well, she was 84. Anyway, a lot of you got it right.
You know what? I bet you this is the time she wish she'd had that dog named King. And King would have fucked him up.
Ah, mm-hmm. Grandbabies kicking grandmamas in the chest, man. That's where we at right now. You know he definitely going out to crowded places during coronavirus. He definitely like, I don't care.
Everything.
I don't care if somebody die from this shit. I hate old people. Kick my own grandmama. I don't give a fuck.
And you living with her.
Mm-hmm.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
Double the points, double the race, and a bonus round of guess the race. So far, Karen is 0 for 2.
I know, I've been tagging today.
But can she keep up this horrible, horrible rate?
I will try my best.
Let's see. Last one. An Illinois stripper arrested for drunk driving asked police to take her through a fast food restaurant drive through on the way to jail, where she later exposed a breast and announced that she would not be removing her nipple rings during the booking process. Well, I like me a woman to know what she want, okay?
Ah!
Shatara Mitchell, 28, was behind the wheel of a Pontiac G6 when Peoria police pulled her over last Saturday for running a stop sign around 1:45 a.m. Mitchell, wearing a halter top and cut-off shorts, had worked that evening at Lux Showgirls, a gentleman's club in West Peoria. A patrolman reported that Mitchell's car smelled of alcohol and she had droopy eyelids. Shatara seemed to be relaxed as her radio was loud and she was dancing in her seat. Seen at the right, Mitchell agreed to perform a series of field sobriety tests, the results of which led to her arrest. During one test, Mitchell became distracted since she wanted to dance and sing to a song that was playing on the car radio. Mitchell apologized, saying, "I just really love this song." Well, you know, hey, sometimes your jam come on, okay? It's hard to stop, you know? An initial breath test recorded Mitchell's blood alcohol content at 2.204, which is more than twice the legal limit of 0.08. Mitchell told cops that she had consumed 2 shots of tequila and 2 shots of vodka at home before going to work, and that she had had 2 double shots of Hennessy cognac at the strip club.
Goddamn!
After being handcuffed and placed into a squad car, Mitchell reportedly asked the officer to make a pit stop at a fast food restaurant so that she could get something to eat at a drive-thru window.
Was it that Popeye establishment?
They didn't say which restaurant it was. I guess that would give a clue. Mitchell also had concerns about her impending lodging behind the bars. "Will they feed me in there?" she asked before declaring out of the blue, "I don't want nobody fucking me in the ass." Well, we all agree.
What? How do we get here?
Well, not we all agree, but I would agree, you know, if I was on my way to jail. That's one on the top things I don't want. At the sheriff's office, Mitchell was uncuffed.
Most people don't want that.
The sheriff's office, Mitchell was
unwillingly.
At the sheriff's office, Mitchell was uncuffed as a patrolman began filling out an arrest report. At one point, she announced, "I'm not taking these out." Looking up from his paperwork, the cop saw Mitchell had pulled down the tur top, exposing her breast, pointed towards her nipple rings.
He looked like the fuck.
The officer reported that he yelled at her to put her breast back in her shirt, and I advised her that she cannot expose herself like that inside this facility. Mitchell then apologized. That's the first time she probably heard that. Put those titties away, ma'am. I'm disgusted right now.
I'm just trying to fill out the paperwork. I didn't ask for titties.
Charged with drunk driving, disregarding a stop sign, Mitchell seen below with some coworkers, bonded out of jail later that morning without further incident. All right, Karen, guess the race. Shatara Mitchell.
Black. If Shatara Mitchell is white, I'll be shocked.
All right, let's check the chat room and see what they believe. Did you ask already?
Yes, you might scroll up a little bit.
Oh, you asked kind of early on this one.
My bad. I thought it was over. I didn't realize you had that much. It was longer.
Give me a second to work my way. Okay. She twerked instead of walking the line, works at a strip club where they play rock music instead of rap music. That's a black ass excuse. Her stripper name is Sin, as in sensational black. I don't appreciate that she has my last name. Well, no, I'm not gonna say anything. Hennessy Cognac, I changed my answer. She black. Hennessy never settle. Streaming on BET Plus, Tyler Perry presents Freedom Titties Black. Anything is possible. Sound like a lost scene from Players Club. Black. Mammy Titty Black. Come on, buddy. Hennessy, black shit. Shaking my damn head. Take me to checkers, damn it. Nigga shit. Her stage name is Alizé Black. Dance to Five Star and not Cherry Pie Black. Magic City Roller. The cop was more of an ass man. The correct answer is she was black. And some of you got it wrong. Wait, I think some of y'all got it wrong. Yeah, now I will say this, she is black. I don't know that she works at the black strip club though.
That name sound white.
Well, no, the name is the strip club. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then the picture of her with her coworkers is a bunch of white girls. I don't know if you guys can see that on y'all screen.
Mm-hmm.
But
she might have been dancing to Cherry Pie.
And they don't look like the kind of white girls that be in the black strip club either. They mm-hmm. just look like regular white girls. So
they don't look like they them pogs.
Yeah. So, you know, no serious in this bunch or whatever y'all are into these days. All right, let's move on to Sword Ratchetness. That's right, it's time to talk about Sword Ratchetness, something that we don't really condone, even in the coronavirus apocalypse, guys. Mm-hmm. Okay, don't just go out here without getting some training and using your sword within the legal limits. Okay, some of you guys get a little reckless out here. Two masked men armed with samurai swords have stormed a service station in Sydney's west and fled with $1,000 in cash. CCTV captured the terrifying moment the men stormed into George's Hall station on Sunday at about 9:10 p.m. Store owner Peter said that he was forced back into the store by one of the armed men. The guy was swinging it, saying, "Get inside, Peter said. Inside the store, more CCTV cameras capture one of the offenders searching the counter area before forcing Peter to open up the locked cigarette shelves. Both men then fled with almost $1,000. A third person waiting in a getaway car outside was caught on camera pulling up and picking up the robbers before speeding away. The whole ordeal was captured on a mobile phone by a shocked bystander who watched from across the road in their backyard. Police are appealing for anyone with information to come forward and contact Crime Stoppers. Damn. A sword fucking gas station robbery.
Ah!
That's crazy. And then stole some cigarettes too, because why not add smoking
on top of that,
if you're gonna be doing it. All right, y'all, that's it for today's episode. Go check out those Medium talks, okay? Your boy's been working.
Yes, he has,
So, you know, we got plenty. You guys are stuck at home in this quarantine shit, and now you got plenty of content to listen to. So hopefully you guys enjoy it, and we'll be back tomorrow with our Walking Dead recap. Thursday morning I'm planning on doing This Too Much with Bossy, and Thursday night is Balls Deep Sports, and then I'm taking Friday to fuck off. All right, y'all, until next time, I love you
too.
Mwah.